Secret Friends, my name is Neil, and welcome to this, episode 109 of the Get Your Comic-Con podcast. I can't say that we're here fortnightly-ish, because we haven't been here since January, so welcome back. I'm here to bring you a slice of film, TV, and pop culture goodness from my studio space directly to your listening device. I'm starting out with a massive apology because we haven't done an episode since January, which is terrible. Only one podcast so far this year, and we're 3 and a bit months in. There has been a lot going on. There's been a lot going on outside of Geico Tower. There's been a lot going on inside Geico Tower. We've had some big changes with the wonderful, wonderful Dave having left us and moved on to focus on his gaming website. And so, to be perfectly honest, I just haven't been able to find the time, which is ridiculous, to sit down peacefully in front of a microphone and chat to you about the latest in film, TV, comics, and whatever is going on out there in pop culture land. But I am forcing myself to do so right now so that I can ease myself back in and get into the habit of podcasting again. I'm not recording this podcast for YouTube because I'm stealing 20 minutes, half an hour to just record this quickly because I don't remember if I even know what I'm doing anymore. So thank you for joining in and listening to what I'm going to have planned for you today. I have a couple of news stories that I want to cover off really quickly, and then I want to talk to you about the 4 episodes that I have seen of the wonderful final season of Star Trek Discovery. That series just returned last week with 2 brand new episodes and returns every Thursday with new episodes for the next few weeks. So I have seen the episode that's coming up this week, and I have seen the one that's coming up next week, and then I am in the unknownest of territories through the remainder of season 5. So to kick things off, let's wheel out that news jingle and get down to the latest headlines. This year is a really big year for the Crow franchise. As you will have seen just a few weeks ago, we got the first look trailer for the upcoming reboot film. I don't know whether you want to call it a reboot, remake, or just another version of The Crow, which is directed by Rupert Sanders and is starring Bill Skarsgård, and I hope I'm saying this right and that it is just initials, but FKA Twigs. They are taking over the roles of Eric and Shelley for a brand new take on what was the basis of the storyline for the 1994 original film, which was directed by Alex Proyas and very famously starred Brandon Lee, who was tragically killed during production. Now, you'll just notice I said 1994, so if you have a maths brain, you will know that this year is the 30th anniversary of Alex Proyas' The Crow. And Paramount Home Entertainment has just announced that they will be re-releasing the film on home video, and it's going to be on 4K UHD for the very, very first time. It has been newly remastered and will come to not one but 2 different very, very special Steelbook editions, which will be available from May the 6th, 2024, and then a standard 4K UHD release will follow a little bit later on June the 3rd. You can head over to our website and take a look at some imagery from these new versions. They are absolutely stunning. Let me just rattle off some of the basics that Paramount has given us about this release. The Steelbooks include both 4K Ultra HD and Blu-ray discs, with one featuring an O-ring with a cutout of a crow that lifts to reveal a portrait of Brandon Lee with his guitar, whilst the other features an O-ring with a cutout of a crow that lifts to reveal the face of Brandon Lee. All 3 releases, so that includes the standard edition that follows in June, will feature a brand new 3-part documentary created specifically for the 30th anniversary, which is entitled Shadows and Pain, Designing the Crow. The new piece is a fascinating deep dive with legendary production designer Alex McDowell, who discusses all aspects of designing the 1994 classic, as well as his experience working with visionary director Alex Proyas and the film's late star Brandon Lee. Also, for the first time on disc, these releases are going to include a conversation with the late legend Edward R. Pressman, who discussed his prolific career on the occasion of Sideshow Collectibles' release of a limited figure, also for The Crow. The bonus content in general, on top of the Shadows and Pain that I just mentioned, there's also an audio commentary from director Alex Proyas, audio commentary by producer Jeff Most and screenwriter John Shirley, behind-the-scenes featurette, a profile on James O'Barr. There's 3 extended scenes, which are the arcade bombing, the fun boy fight, and the shootout at Top Dollars. There's deleted footage montage, and also there's a theatrical trailer which is included on there. So as I was saying, this is coming to 4K Ultra HD and Blu-ray Steelbook on May the 6th, with the standard edition following on just Ultra HD on June the 3rd, 2024. And then you can catch the trailer for the new Rupert Sanders version of The Crow over on our website, and we'll be keeping you updated as and when we have more release details on that for when it's coming to the UK. Coming over to the world of comic books, for our next story, DC has announced a brand new series, which is absolutely one for the Jason Todd fans out there, and I know there are plenty of you, particularly listening to this podcast. So, following on from the events of 1988's original Batman, issue number 428, and last year's facsimile version that you will know with its alternate pages, DC is dipping back in to the story of the death in the family for an alternate version in which Jason Todd will survive his brutal encounter with the Joker rather than being killed at the hands of the Joker. So the publisher's planning this all-new story that will tell readers what happens to the ex-Robin during and after his recovery, after he's nearly killed by the Clown Prince of Crime. It is going to be written by J.M. DeMatteis, which is incredibly exciting, and features artwork by Rick Leonardi. So it's an all-new chapter in this iconic story, and they're calling it From the DC Vault, Death in the Family, Robin Lives. It's going to be coming to comic book shops and digital retailers in July. So for those of you who may not know, back in 1988, DC raised this revolutionary idea to let fans decide whether Jason Todd would survive or be killed at the hands of the Joker by asking fans to call into a 1-800 number to cast a vote. Originally, fans had decided that Jason would pay the ultimate price and he would be killed off, and so that is what happened in the original Death in the Family storyline. And then the facsimile edition that was released in December of last year used pages that had been prepped for if fans had chosen that he would survive. But at that point, that was where the story would end. So now this alternate ending is being spun off into a new short story by J.M. DeMatteis, which will explore what happens. So DeMatteis says in a quote from DC, "Continuing this classic and controversial story and following in the footsteps of Jim Starlin and Jim Aparo, two creators I greatly admire, has both been a challenge and a joy. This is a great opportunity to tell a story that's big on action but also takes a very deep dive into the heads of our main characters as we ponder what would have happened if Jason Todd had survived the Joker's brutal attack." There's some preview pages which you can check out over on our website, which are very, very exciting. They're not even coloured, there's no dialogue, but it really taps into Jason's mental state as he's in the hospital shortly following that attack. You'll be able to pre-order your copy of Robin Lives number 1 at participating comic book stores from April the 19th. It features a main cover by Leonardi, plus an open-to-buy variant cover by Mike Mignola, which is going to be very exciting when you get to see it. So reach out to your local comic book shop and make sure to get that ordered now. Both the original Batman 428 and the facsimile edition, as well as the complete Death in the Family arc, are available to read now on DC Universe Infinite. But what a cool idea. I have often wondered what the storyline would have been if Jason had survived. So it's cool to see that now they've done this facsimile edition using those original pages for what they had planned to do, that they're now going to extend that and give us an idea as to what could have happened next if Jason had survived. Are you excited to see what would have happened if Jason had survived, though? Please reach out and let me know on social media. You can find me as at Neil Vag, that's N-E-I-L-V-A-G-G on all major platforms, or you can find us at Get Your Comic On, also on all major platforms. And as always, for all of the latest news, please check our website, which is www.getyourcomiccon.co.uk. So I want to begin making some changes to this podcast now that I want to get back into the swing of it. And one of those things is making this a little bit more interactive. As you will know, I obviously used to host this podcast with my boy Wonder, Martin, who is very busy and deep into year 2 of his PhD. And that is why I have been flying solo. Although James does dip in every now and then, I don't have a permanent co-host, and a lot of the time, just to make life easier for recording, it's just me. So I want to hear more from you. Each time we go to record one of these podcasts, I am going to put a call out to those of you out there in social media land and ask you what stories you would like me to talk about, where you would like to hear my insights on what's going on, or if there's things that you want to hear more about that you think I'm going to be able to help with. So please, get in touch, let me know what you want to hear story-wise in the news section, and I can start reading out your messages as part of this podcast, and maybe I won't feel so alone. For now, that is it for the news. Let's crack on with our Star Trek review. So Star Trek Discovery is back for its fifth and sadly final season. The first two episodes, which are called Red Directive and Under the Twin Moons, are available to stream now, both on Paramount Plus. And I've had the great pleasure of seeing two more episodes, episode 3, which is called Janal, and episode 4, which is called Face the Strange. Janal will be premiering this Thursday, and then Face the Strange will be premiering next Thursday. The series is going to run through till May time, when it will air its 10th and final episode of this season, and final episode ever, Life Itself. The series once again stars the wonderful Sinequa Martin Green as Captain Michael Burnham, Doug Jones as Saru, Anthony Rapp as Paul Stamets, Mary Wiseman returns as the wonderful Sylvia Tilly, also starring are Wilson Cruz, David Ajula, Blue Del Barrio, Callum Keith Rennie, who joins the season as a brand new character called Rainer, and then we have our season 5 villains, which are Elias Tufexis, who plays Lark, and Eve Harlow as Mole. I don't want to say too much about the overarching story of the season because it goes into massive spoiler territory straight away, but it has major ties to an episode from season 6 of Star Trek The Next Generation, which is very exciting for long-term Star Trek fans, and there are lots of connections and Easter eggs across the first 4 episodes that I've seen. Hopefully, if you are a Star Trek fan, you've seen the first 2 episodes already, and I hope you're really happy with them. They are another marked change in tone for this series. It has grown and changed with every single season, and I feel like it's gotten lighter and lighter, particularly emotionally, which is something that Discovery is very emotionally melodramatic in a way. You know, there's a lot of sense of family, there's a lot of sense of people emoting, of talking, there's a lot of talking in the show that's not just technobabble, and that is one of the reasons why some people are kind of switched off by it, because it is so emotive and people get so passionate in doing the Starfleet job, but also looking after each other and being this family in space. But I think it works really, really well. And particularly this season, we're now seeing it counterbalanced against what is the most high-octane kind of action-adventure story that we've seen yet. The season opens with an extended sequence that we actually got to see last year back at San Diego Comic-Con with Burnham in a spacesuit riding on the hull of a ship as it's at warp, which is just insane. It's like a really big set piece, filmed once again using the wonderful AR technology that Star Trek uses so well. And it's just, it probably, in terms of its action kind of content, has more in common with the J.J. Abrams era movies, which again are a bit of an acquired taste for older Star Trek fans, but are nonetheless very exciting to see when it's played against some of the more techie elements, which do still exist in this show and come into play maybe a little bit more in episodes 3 and 4. But overall, once again, it feels like a whole new show. And really, if you go back and look at an episode from season 1 and then an episode from season 5, they're like totally different shows now. In a good way, there is a natural progression through the seasons that almost makes Discovery like an anthology show. Which in a way, I feel like Star Trek Picard was as well. When you look at season 1, it was the more mournful, serious, character-driven piece looking at who Picard was all these years later. Then season 2 became the time travel adventure, and then season 3 was the big Next Generation finale. So I feel like Star Trek kind of does this in a way. There's almost a precedent for it. But this is certainly the most fresh and exciting that Discovery has felt. And its opening episode, Red Directive, is very, very much its biggest, most action-packed season premiere, and that's really exciting to see. Some of the set piece work is really incredible. The big sand speeder, that's a Star Wars reference, bike chase is really, really cool to watch. You have ship action, you've got space action, you've got kind of exploration stuff going on. It's all very interesting to see this show kind of doing a sort of almost Indiana Jones in space, hunt the artifact, MacGuffin kind of storyline. And there are kind of pitfalls to that as well, in that particularly, again, in the episodes that I've seen, it's like, right, episode 1, we need to find this thing, we'll go here. That gives us a clue that tells us we need to go to this place, which is where we'll go in episode 2. That gives us a clue to this next place, which is where we'll go in episode 3. But I don't feel like that's going to be a recurring theme throughout the entire season. That motif tends to sort of melt away a little bit in episode 4, because a lot of the pieces have come together, And something else is kind of taking the fore a little bit. It's more of a race to get to the finish line than it is about finding an endless list of MacGuffins to get from one clue to the next to get to the end. And all along you have these villains in Marlon Locke who are kind of egging on Discovery to do better and to be faster and to solve the problem quicker and to think outside the box. And they're an interesting set of characters. There are some ties to people that we already know. Again, I won't spoil those for you here. But there is a slight kind of what does the plot need them to do sense to them in episode 1 and 2 that is thankfully, it's not course corrected because it's not like they've changed the way they've written. They need to use them to begin with to get everyone on the right track. And once they're on the right track, things become more interesting. So they're a pair of thieves who happen to be kind of stumble across this item in the first episode that is going to be really important at kicking off the entire storyline of the season. But when the kind of impetus that puts them on that track is removed, then they kind of go after it themselves, which seems almost, it feels wrong to say out of character because we've only just met them, but it's quite a quick change from them being these everyday gangster thieves to suddenly chasing this almighty kind of power technology thing, albeit the motivation being that it can kind of buy them out of the trouble that they're in. So there's a little bit of a plot contrivance there to get them to the point where they're kind of the team that Discovery is racing against. But once they're doing that, it works really, really well. And the kind of the back and forth between the two is really interesting, particularly in this week's episode where the two of them take a step back, but the Discovery crew is very much working on we have to get to the next thing before they do, at which point they become more of a kind of looming threat. And you can feel the sense of tension that brings to the overall storyline. No other real major changes, as if that's not big enough. We have Saru moving to a different role, which means that he's going to be in the show. I guess less is probably the right way to say it. His role is reduced and changed slightly in that he's not now on board the Discovery, and he is replaced by Callum Keith Rennie's character, Rayner, who is... he kind of reminds me of... I nearly forgot his name, but as Ronnie Cox... as Edward Jellicoe, captain, as he was in Chain of Command, and then Admiral when he's seen in Prodigy. He's a kind of a Jellicoe type character in that he rubs everyone up the wrong way and sort of doesn't want to be there and wants everyone else to play by his rules. So he's a Jellicoe mold type character, which I guess is just another cool callback to earlier Star Trek. But it's going to be interesting to see how he fits in with Discovery, because we're really starting to see that and how that changes him and how it changes the core cast of the show in episodes 3 and 4, which, as I said, is as much as I've seen, so I am heading into unknown territory in the next couple of weeks. I don't want to talk too much about this show ending because I don't firstly feel ready for it to end, but also don't know, because I haven't seen any more, I don't want to pass comment on how well I think this is going to conclude the show. So it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. I think we have a really exciting mystery. I think we have some really great setup in the first two episodes, and then some really solid storytelling in episodes 3 and 4. And that is all very, very exciting to see. The cast didn't know that they were making their final season as they were shooting this. And so it's odd when you get a sense of this feeling like the end, because no one knew that it was, but somehow it just works. And that's actually really nice to see, because although we know they have gone back and they have filmed a kind of epilogue for the series season finale, it's nice that this is going to be a show that goes out on its own terms, but on its own terms with what feels like a greatest hit season. There are callbacks to the past of the show which work really well in rounding off this storyline if this is going to be the last time that we spend with these characters. And so I'm really excited to see where it goes in the 6 episodes that I have yet to see. So please get your Paramount Plus subscriptions, sit down, watch Star Trek Discovery. As I said, episodes 1 and 2 of season 5 are available now, with new episodes streaming weekly through May when the series finale will air. And I'm not ready, but we will cover more of that later on. And that is all I have to say for this podcast. I'm keeping it short and sweet. I am back. I have successfully recorded a podcast. Next time, I need to remember to record some video. So, Thank you very much for tuning in. As I did say earlier on, if you want to find me on social media, my name is at Neil Vag on all major platforms. If you want to find us, we are at Get Your Comic On. Please follow us, like and review this podcast wherever you are listening to us. Check out the website, which is www.getyourcomiccon.co.uk, and get in touch if you have a news story or something that you would like us to review in a future episode. But stay safe, stay well, and I will see you next time. Bye! Thanks for watching, Super Friends. If you enjoyed this video, then make sure to hit the subscribe button just down below and hit the bell so that you can get notified whenever we release brand new videos. In fact, there's two more waiting for you to watch right here below. So what are you waiting for? Why not click play?